Thank you. Good morning. To start with, we'll turn on the machine. It works like that. And this is just a small little thing to help you to understand where Bolivia is. And it is not Liberia, it's Bolivia. And you can see by the arrow on the map, it's in the central part of South America. And we have been there now about 15 years. And we'll go on to share about some things, what God is doing in the different cities. Here is a group of the members of the board members. And we are officially registered in the government there in Bolivia. Here is the classroom in the office. This is just indicating some of the classes and the people who attend. And these are students again. This is in another place in the institute, and it's in the salon of the building. Here, this lady had been with us about 12 years, and she now teaches some of the courses. And her name is Yorka, and she's a very good teacher. She has a degree in systems, and she was a great help in the office when we were starting to put things together. She's a mother, and she has two children. And here is another one of our teachers. This is taking place in the classroom. And this is another lady that had been one of our teachers, and she now is living in Santa Cruz, and I talked with her the other day, as she would like to start her work again with her husband in another part outside of the city of Santa Cruz. And this gentleman is her husband, Javier, and he had prepared himself to be a priest, but when he met her, he gave it all up to marry her. this gentleman is working for us now, and this picture was taken several years ago when he was teaching on the Tabernacle of Moses, and you can see him there. He and his wife now are watching over the office, and they have two grown children. And here is a class that's taking place in La Capilla. And the person teaching the class is Pastor Roger Umeras. And they're here with us. They came up here with their son, and I would like for them to stand. Pastor Roger, would you stand? They're sitting way in the back. And we're just thrilled to have them with us. It's very unusual that they traveled all the way from Bolivia up here to see what Zion was all about. And Pastor Roger has been very open to us, and we've had classes from the very beginning. Actually, we started in his church, and his church is called La Capilla, which is significant chapel. And this work, in that work, they had about 10 leaders, and he wanted his leaders prepared. So our first classes were given in that respect to help his leaders. And for 2 years, they completed 24 courses, and they studied twice a week and completed the courses within 2 years. And later on, several of them told me that was the best time of their life. They liked the studying twice a week in comparison to just once a week. They felt like that they were really in Bible school, and they were studying at night. It was quite a sacrifice. And Pastor Paul Karam did the graduation when they finally graduated. And we had another 10 students that were starting at that time. Now, that was about in the year 2002, I believe, around in that time when they graduated. So that was the first graduation we had. Now, from that time on, Pastor Roger has been very open to our studies, and just about every year we've had at least one group of people studying the Zion studies. And he has several churches in Santa Cruz, and there's one church down there where they have always been studying one of our courses. So this is just recently, this picture was taken, and the class that Roger is teaching, you can't see it very well, but the lady on the outside is his wife, and she's here with us today also, and they're teaching Sermon on the Mount, and people have been really blessed, and the teaching is continuing on while we're here on this trip. And this is another photo of that class. Here in the city of Cochabamba, we have Christian fairs, and so we try to take advantage of that by setting up a booth, and we can display our studies and our books. And people come along, and we have had some response as a result of participating in this fair. And there you get a little idea of how the booths are set up. This is a graduation that took place in 2013. And it's there's a group of students there. As you can see, the number is quite a bit. We had about 50. And that was after they had completed 12 courses. So they really went all out for it with their togas and everything else. It looks very official. And this is an interesting story because the pastor of this church opened up to our studies, and he wanted to prepare people, and his denomination was troubled that these people were studying, and so they quickly put a course together and insisted from that after this class graduated that it would be a requirement that people would have to study in their courses. So they no longer were able to use the Zion studies. But this year he called me after the graduation, the pastor did, and he said, "Joyce, would you give me permission to teach my leaders the book Victory?" And I thought that was interesting. But here in this graduation, there were 50 people who participated. This is another graduation that took place in Aruro. And I'm not sure about the year because they've had several graduations. The pastor there is Enrique Valenzuela. Again, this is their church, and this is a larger graduation. And as you can see, they decorate their churches. They really, they get a hold of these buildings, and it's a marvelous thing what they do with them in decorating and painting and so forth. And as you can see, Pastor David is here at this graduation, and this was one of the graduations that took place. Pastor David has traveled over the years and ministers mainly in Cochabamba, and Pastor David is seen here in this picture participating in the graduation, and his wife also. Oh, that's another picture of that. This was inserted by the man in the office because it was among the pictures. It is just to show that in Cochabamba they have wonderful cakes, and they decorate them, and they're really quite something. There's another example of that. I'll go by that quickly. I don't sit around and eat cake the whole time on there. And this I wanted to include to show you that the people are very loving. They really reach out to a person. And in my part of being alone there, I never feel alone. They're very loving and very kind. And from the time that I've been there, I've developed a lot of wonderful friends and loving people. And they really, by nature, I feel the Bolivians are like that. Before I go on, I would like to know, are there any other Bolivians here this morning? Would you raise your hand? Oh, please stand. Look, we have several from the country of Bolivia. Imagine. And I heard about that. Welcome, and we're just really very thrilled to have you here with us. And as I was saying, you can see here the people are just like one of you, and I've made a lot of wonderful friendships, and actually over a period of time, Cochabamba has become my home, and I really love the people there. This is a church outside of Cochabamba, and we went in there bringing in the studies of the Zion message. And the pastor is very open to the Zion message. He went through many of our courses, and from there he wanted his people to be taught. Now, this is a story. Poor man. It was the first time for him. And excuse me. What it was, he has a small church, and he had called upon me to help him to teach about water baptism. And I was standing in front of him, and there was a long line of people waiting to be water baptized. And I just about died when I saw what he did to that poor man. He didn't ask him anything. He just grabbed him by the back of the neck. And there he was. He was baptized. Now, I talked with him, of course, and later on, he learned how to do it correctly. And as you see here, it's much better. He has... he has help, too. We also want to mention the children. We have a lot of involvement with the children in different aspects. And this is a little friend of mine. Her name is Ruth. Here is the family that has joined us now. And the gentleman's name is Yvonne Delgado. And he is serving in the office with his wife and his two children are there, and we're very happy that they're helping us out in the office. And I believe that's it. So to continue on with a little more understanding of what we're actually doing in Cochabamba, we have, for the past 5 years, been registered with a ministry that's called Ministry of Culto, and it's connected with the government, and we have to turn in forms and so forth to keep that registration up. Right now we have over 300 students in different cities, and it comes to about 9 schools when you total them up. Now, to describe a school, it's usually where there's a church and they have opened up to us, and so they conduct the classes within the church, and they have different ways of doing that. And usually the people are studying for non-credit, and of course the goal is to complete 24 courses. In the office, we've had a lot of people that they really don't want to stop studying, and so we have offered them kind of an additional type of diploma where we call it advanced studies, and they just continue on. It's like we just, they come back and they say, can't you offer us more studies? It becomes part of their life. I took a few notes about Cochabamba so you would have a little understanding about this country. It's a city, and it's in the central part of Bolivia. It's located in a valley bearing the same name in the Andes Mountains. And it is the fourth largest city in Bolivia with a population of about 2 million people. It's a landlocked country, located in western central South America. It is bordered by Brazil to the north, east, Paraguay and Argentina to the south, Chile to the southwest, and Peru to the east, and to the west, I'm sorry. And that means that it is surrounded by 5 nations, And so the desire in my heart is that we really should be extending ourselves further out and making contacts in these other five nations that surround Bolivia. And we haven't been able to do very much of that. To give you a little more on the background of Bolivia, prior to the Spanish colonization, the Andean region of Bolivia was part of the Inca Empire, while the northern and eastern lowlands were inhabited by independent tribes. Spanish conquistadores arriving from Cusco and Asunción took control of the region in the 16th century. During most of the Spanish colonial period, Bolivia was known as Upper Peru. And modern Bolivia is a democratic republic, which indicates that the government is very similar or identical to Venezuela, what is taking place in Venezuela, and also Cuba. The president of Bolivia, his name is Evo Morales, and maybe you've heard of him on the news. The country of Bolivia is divided into 9 departments, and its geography varies from peaks of the Andes. They're very high, and some of them, Illimani is well known outside of La Paz, and it's throughout the year it's covered with snow. And in the last few years there's been a change in that. We're seeing a change. To the eastern lowlands, which are situated within the Amazon basin. The main language spoken there is Spanish, although the Guarani, Aymara, and Quechua are languages that are also common. And all 4, as well as 34 other indigenous languages, are official. The capital of Bolivia is Sucre. It's the constitutional capital, and the activities, the decisions, and the functioning of the government takes place in La Paz. The largest city of Bolivia is Santa Cruz, and we are located in 4 of these cities. We have work going on in different places. And so before I close, I would just like to share a testimony, because this is a time of a testimony. And maybe you're here this morning and you have the question, what is a testimony? And a testimony is an experience that you have in your life. And I believe everyone here has a testimony. And I have a recent testimony, so I just wanted to share a few thoughts with you this morning about this testimony. Pastor Roger Umeres permitted me to minister in teaching in his church to a group of married couples. This happened several years ago. And through their discipleship program, they meet once a week on Tuesday night. These people have been meeting together for over 6 years. And after prayer and seeking the Lord, I felt that it would be all right. And in the beginning, I prayed much for these people that I would be guided by the Lord as to what to teach and how to go about it. And from the very beginning, their request was the book Victory. And this was followed by a book about prayer, and then later hearing the powerful voice of God. And the meeting was structured. We opened the meeting with worship, and then the study of the word, and then afterwards it was followed by a snack. I found that they were very tired. They arrived after working all day and fighting traffic. So when they would gather together, it was obvious that many of them were tired. But a little while after that, I heard a testimony of a Messianic rabbi. And he was teaching a group that was similar to this, and he found the same problem. So he changed it, the order of things, and he felt that it would be better to begin with coffee and the snack so that they would have strength, so they would be strengthened. And he found, too, that the other thing was they relaxed and they opened up with one another, and then he found it much easier to enter into teaching. So I tried that because I noticed that week after week I would be trying to teach them a little something, and they were so tired. Would get through the worship, and you could just feel the tiredness in the room. But when it was time for the snack, they just came alive. So things weren't working out very well. And I heard about this rabbi, and I thought, I'm going to try that. And oh, what a change. And they were in agreement with it, and that's what we have been doing. We begin the evening with coffee and a snack, and everybody is seated at the table, and they're talking with each other, and then they stop and they pull their books out, and they said, well, now let's get to the Word. And it's worked out better for us. Amen. In all of this, I was really taken up with their spiritual needs. I really desired so that the teachings would meet what their spiritual needs would be. I was just so taken by surprise. You know, there's a book that was a favorite of mine. It was called Surprised by Joy. Well, in this testimony, I was surprised by love. And as I spent more time with these people, even though I knew them before, but my knowledge of them deepened. And I had this wonderful love for them. And not only that, the Lord began to open my heart to see how much He loved them. And many times we would start in the evening, and I could just see it and feel it, that God loved each one of them so much. The love just overwhelmed me. And as we went on, it really was teaching me about that God has this in mind, that we would really, truly love one another. And the Bible talks about that. We have that in the Scriptures and in 1 Peter 4:8, it says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. And the word fervent is what really caught my attention. It isn't just saying, above all things, have charity or have love for one another. We're supposed to have fervent love. And that love that word just speaks to me about being sincere in our love for one another. And that it would be lively, a lively love, a true sincere interest in one another. The Lord has that in the word that we are to be loving with one another. In 1 Thessalonians 4:9, it touches on this also. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And this was really a wonderful experience for me. It's like I've had an experience with this group of people, that God wants us to have this love and for one another. And at times we can have just a grudge towards another person and not realize it. In James, it talks about this, and the word grudge is to mean a groan in us. And the word says in James 5:9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. And let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And in this, I believe God was really touching my heart, that this was so important to Him, and that the teaching would take care of itself. And what I'm seeing is how God loves these people and what He's done in my heart. And from that, there's come a hunger and a thirst in their lives to go on in God. And I just love this verse that's in Romans 5:5, that we don't really have to be concerned about the love, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, and it's given to us. I just wanted to mention this in closing, that these things are important, because in the last days, now in Matthew 24:9, it says, talks about this, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And I don't want to be part of that group, and I don't believe there's anyone in this room who wants to be part of that group. And I truly believe that as we walk in obedience and seek ways, obey these scriptures, forbearing one another, not carrying a grudge or a groan against another person, and letting God love these people that you're close to, that we can fulfill all that God has for us in these last days. So I just close with that. Thank you very much.